Anytime I buy floating rate, which I haven't in a while, but anytime I do or will, I always hedge it, even if we're in a low rate environment, because anything can happen. We just saw it over the past couple of years, you know, the fastest they've increased rates, and that's something you just can't predict. So you want to hedge.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you all things personal finance, because after all, it's not what you make, but what you keep. And I'm on here to share with you strategies and tricks, not only to get that money working harder for you, but smarter, so we can all create the lives of our dreams. And today I want to share a strategy I think that is probably top of mind for a lot of people, and one that I've been thinking about a lot and should have probably shared a while ago, but here we are. But before I get into it, a little housekeeping as always. If you're getting value from this show, I always ask, because I don't do any type of promotion, no advertising. I'm solely here to provide value to people that listen, and hopefully that I can provide that value to improve not only your life, your business, and most important, we can just work on personal excellence, right? And that's what I'm here to do. And how to do that is I need you to share the show to friends, family, colleagues, whoever you think can get value from the show. And also leave a rating and review on whatever podcast platform you're listening or watching, as that also helps get us in front of more ears and eyes. So thank you so much for that. And without further ado, let's get into it. So today, I want to talk about interest rates, everybody's favorite topic in real estate, well, really favorite topic in finance in general, because I've talked about this before. Our economy is really built on debt, right? Businesses run off debt, short-term debt to fuel and finance projects, operations, obviously in real estate. It's how we buy properties, right? Using leverage. And this has been a hot topic, right? As of today, we're looking at the 10-year at 4.877 and the 5-year at 4.808. And last week, last Friday, and I think even maybe on Monday or Tuesday of this week, it hit 5%, which hasn't done in decades. So what I want to talk about today, it's not just interest rates, but strategies to hedge against interest rates, especially if you're using a floating rate type of product. And I know everyone's like, don't use floating rate, fixed rate. And I agree with that to a point, right? If you know your project's going to be long-term, then yeah, lock in long-term fixed rate debt, hopefully at a good rate. In today's market, it's harder to get a solid rate. And if you're doing really long-term, there's a risk there, because if you're getting a 7-8% interest rate right now for fixed, say over 10 years, well, what happens in 3 to 6 years, that rate comes down well below that and you're fixed and maybe you have a prepayment penalty. So I'm just prefacing this because you might ask, well, why would you even consider a floating rate product in this market? And the reason for that is it all depends on what your business plan is. If it's to come in and create a lot of value and then get out either through a sale or a refi, then you don't want a prepayment penalty. And floating rate products offer no prepayment penalties. Yes, you can find fixed rate products that don't have prepayment, but they're usually going to be a downside to it. Either, you know, higher rate, terms aren't as great, amortization schedule is not as long, recourse. So meaning the property is not the only collateral. They can go back and get your personal wealth as well. So there's pros and cons to both, right? So the purpose of this is if maybe you already have a floating rate instrument or you're thinking about using it for a project. And I want to talk about two popular ways to hedge against rising rates. So let's get right into it. So the first one I want to talk about is the one that probably everyone's familiar with, and that's an interest rate cap. So what is an interest rate cap? Interest rate cap is something you purchase through another party. So it's not through your lender. So you get your floating rate product, say through a bank, let's say, or maybe through an agency, right? They're providing you the loan. You go to a third party that sells caps. And so what is a cap? It's going to float off an index. And in today's market, most of that is SOFR. So they're going to do SOFR plus a percentage above. Usually it's what we usually look at in the past is 200 basis points, right? So 2% above SOFR, and then it's going to be 1, 2, 3 years. And the closer you get to SOFR, so meaning 1% over, 2% over, 3% over, 4% over, the closer you float over that, the more expensive. And then the longer term you get, the more expensive, right? Because there's risk to the party providing you this in both scenarios, right? So you're going to pay more. Now, back a few years ago when rates were really low, cap rates were super cheap. On one of our properties, we purchased a 3-year cap at 200 basis points, so 2% over SOFR. It might have been before the LIBOR to SOFR change, but we won't get into that. Anyways, it was 200 basis points over that index for 3 years. And I think we paid somewhere around 50 grand for it. It might have even been less. It was super cheap. Something like that today on that size of project would be probably closer to $1 million to buy that type of cap. So it's gotten very expensive to purchase interest rate caps. And that's because we're in a high rate interest rising environment. So there's more risk providing you that. So they charge more for it. And there's also higher demand. So supply and demand comes into effect too, is why they charge more. Obviously, in times when rates were rising, less people were buying it, even though I think you should always buy it, especially when it's cheap. So they were charging less. Anytime I buy floating rate, which I haven't in a while, but anytime I do or will, I always hedge it, even if we're in a low rate environment, because anything can happen. We just saw it over the past couple of years, you know, the fastest they've increased rates, and you can't predict that. That's something you just can't predict. So you want to hedge. And so the second way to hedge against interest rates, or second common way, is something called interest rate swap. So what is an interest rate swap? In layman's terms, simply put, it is two parties who have, one is has a fixed interest rate and the other has a floating rate swap, right? And it's not swap in the sense of now I'm paying B lender, which used to be their lender, and they're paying A lender, which used to be my lender. That's not what it means. We're still making our payments to our original lender. However, we're also swapping cash flows. And the reason you do this could be for a multitude of reasons, right? Obviously, in our current environment, you're hedging against interest rate fluctuations. So property owner with a floating rate mortgage may want to use this interest rate swap to convert the variable interest payments to a fixed payment to protect against those rising rates. Another reason could be managing cash flow. You know, swaps can align with the cash flows that either your property, and you can do this in businesses too, the business, whatever this cash flowing asset is producing. So maybe it's more variable cash flows and you want to align that, or maybe it's more fixed cash flows and you want to align to fixed cash flows. And then on the speculation side, which is similar to the hedge against rate fluctuations, you can use this as speculation, where real estate investors may use swaps to take a position on the future direction of interest rates. So for example, they may enter into a swap to benefit from falling rates. So they want it, you know, as a fixed rate player, or rising rates as a floating rate player. So you can speculate as well. So let's throw up an example of what this might look like. So you have investor A and investor B, right? I'm investor A. I have a $1 million loan that is LIBOR plus 2%, so plus 200 basis points. And I pay that to lender one. There is investor B. They have a $1 million loan with an 8% fixed, and they pay that to lender two. So essentially, they're paying $80,000 in interest to lender two each period. Whereas I have a floating rate, and say LIBOR is 5%. So 5% plus 2%, which is, you know, what I'm floating above, is 7%. So $70,000 per period. And then if next period, say, LIBOR drops to 4%, now I'm at 6%, 4 plus 2. So I'm paying $60,000 to the lender. But say I want to do a swap, right? Now, I went over the reasons why, but say I'm more worried about where rates are headed. I don't like the variability of the interest rate, so I want something fixed. And the other investor is, they're different. They think maybe rates are going to be going down, right? Maybe I think rates are going up. They think rates are going to go down. Or maybe I just don't want the variable. I want to more be able to predict what my cash flows are going to be. I don't want the variable, so I want something fixed. So we enter into a swap agreement. And so what happens here is I'm still going to make that variable payment. So that LIBOR plus 2% to my lender, lender one. And investor B, they're still going to make their 8% fix, so $80,000 per period to lender two. They're still going to make that. But what we're going to do is we're going to do a swap in the sense of cash flows, where I'm going to agree. So let's say in this hypothetical scenario, I'm going to pay 7% on $1 million to investor B. And investor B is then going to pay me LIBOR plus 1%, both on $1 million. We both have $1 million loans. So let's see what that would look like for me. In period one, let's go back where it was 5% LIBOR plus 2%. I'm paying $70,000 to my lender. And then I just mentioned that we're paying 7% to lender B. So I'm also paying another $70,000 to investor B. So that's 140 grand I'm paying out. However, I also get something back from investor B. So investor B keeps saying LIBOR, and I'm meaning SOFR. It's just been, you know, been in the finance industry forever, and it was LIBOR forever. So they're paying SOFR plus one to me, which would be, if in that period SOFR is at 5%, they're paying 6%. So they're paying me 60 grand. So if you do 70 plus 70 is 140 minus the 60,000 I'm getting from investor B, I'm paying out $80,000. Now, period two, where we said SOFR dropped to 4%. So I'm paying 4 plus 2, 6%. So $60,000 to my lender. So I'm paying that $60,000 out to my lender. I also still paid that 70,000 because the 7% of $1 million to the swap agreement to investor B. So 60 plus 70 is 130. And investor B is also, due to the swap agreement, still paying me the SOFR plus 1%. So now SOFR's again down to 4%. So plus one is 50 grand, right? 5%. So 130 minus 50 is 80 grand. Well, that's the same as period one. So now I am paying 80 grand out every month. And now I'm fixed, right? That's essentially a synthetically fixed interest rate via this swap. Because maybe I think interest rates are going up and I think they're going to go above 8%. So I'm locked in at 8%, even though underlying I have a variable loan, I have a floating rate loan through the swap. I've synthetically created a fixed rate loan. Now, on the other side, if we go to investor B, again, they're paying 8% to their lender. So 80,000 in interest per period to lender two. Now, in terms from the swap agreement, this is what they pay and also get. So they're paying 80 grand to their lender, lender two. They also get that 70 grand from me, investor A, because I'm paying 7% on the $1 million every period to them. So that's 150,000, but they pay 60 grand because remember in period one, it was SOFR at 5% plus the 1%. So that's 6%. So $60,000. That equals $70,000 they pay because 80 plus 70 minus the 60 they paid out. Well, they paid out 80, they got 70, and they also paid out 60 to me as part of the swap agreement. Yields $70,000 they're paying per period in period one. I shouldn't say per period, that's in period one. Period two, remember SOFR dropped to 4%. So now let's do the calculation. They're still paying that 80 grand, 8% to their original lender, lender two. And they still get the $70,000 from me, investor A, because I'm paying 7% as part of the swap agreement on $1 million. So 70 plus 80, 150. And they also pay 50K. And the reason they pay 50K is because remember in this period, SOFR went down to 4%. So they're paying me SOFR plus one. So SOFR plus one is 5% or 50K. So essentially, they are paying 60K because they paid 80, they paid 50, and they got 70. That equals 60. So if we look back at those two periods, they paid out 70,000 in period one. In period two, they paid out 60. So now they've changed from a fixed rate, a fixed loan to lender two. And now synthetically, they created a floating rate instrument. And they've done this maybe because they think interest rates are going down and they don't want to be stuck with an 8% fixed rate, or maybe they have cash flows that are more variable and they want them to align with that variability. There's many reasons, but in this essence, we're talking about hedging against interest rates and where they're headed. So I know that was a lot of numbers. There's not a real visual to that, but I hope you're able to follow along, maybe at a stop and rewind a few times. But to me, using a hypothetical, you know, kind of a scenario explains it a lot better than me just getting on here and word vomiting financial language at you. So essentially, a swap is a way synthetically to turn a fixed rate debt to a floating rate and vice versa, a floating rate to a fixed loan. So hope that helps. I thought this would be a perfect topic to talk about with the current market we're in, right? And a great way to hedge. There are two strategies to hedge. If you were to consider doing a swap, you should do your own research, should talk to mortgage brokers, lenders, attorneys, because this is a contract you're getting into with someone else. You have a contract with your lender, right? But now you're getting a contract with a third party that also has a lender. You want to make sure your lender is aware of this and agrees to it. So there's a lot of due diligence before doing something like this, but that's essentially what an interest rate swap is. Most people know what an interest rate cap is because that's kind of more common. But for those that didn't, I want to share with that as well. So these are two of the most popular strategies to hedge against interest rates. All right, everybody. Hope you got value out of this. Again, if you did, please share it with someone who you think could get value as well. At the end of the day, that's how we get better, right? Sharing knowledge, learning from others. Yeah, and we can make the world a better place because, right? As always, easy doesn't pay well. And instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams. And through personal excellence, we can make this world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.